Talking about television programs, there was one back in somewhere around 2009, 2013, and it was called Breaking Bad. Did you ever watch any of it? Huh? Well, in case you never watched any of it, I'll tell you. It was a disturbing show called Breaking Bad. And the storyline followed an ordinary chemistry teacher turned villainous meth kingpin. And the idiom Breaking Bad, which comes from a southern expression of raising hell, seemed to suggest within the series that the connotation of hellishness that Walt brought to everybody around him, including his family, and then all of this resulted and escalated from time to time in his initial choices. They fill our lives. Every day we make choices that will determine our day and our health and our relationships and even our future. Now, some choices seem simple, whether you want to have a ham sandwich, a piece of cake, or a salad. Although this seems to be small, little, tiny decisions, depending on our circumstance, how often we make the same choice could end up affecting our future health, that's for sure. So we make hundreds of small decisions like that every single day. We can also face tough decisions, ones that can either be life-alarming or life-shattering, or depending on which road we take. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the good and the bad of our available choices. Now, some circumstances can delude us into thinking that we don't have a choice. Ultimately, we must choose a choice, though. We must pick a path. And most of the time, we cannot go back to try the other way. We're stuck with our choice. We must choose our direction, start walking, living out consequences of our actions. So, our choices, no matter how large or small, define who we are and where we're going. Life-altering decisions can make us break. Our greatest growth comes from the courage to break. Breaking Bad, it may seem like an easier decision or one that feels like our only option at the time, but it takes greater courage to break. Courage to break away from whatever our desire is to draw us away. If we ever played Monopoly, it was always a time in the Monopoly when you get to a point that they sent you to jail, and when you're hoping the next card that you pick up on that board is to get out of jail free card. But I think most of us face our challenges, and I think most of our worst decisions come from the decision to go things on our own. We're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to go on things alone. So take the easy way out. Life is filled with temptations and stumbling stones, and sometimes taking the easy way out is not really the way we want to go, because it might lead us onto the wrong path. The scripture today in Luke's gospel, the Holy Spirit has sent Jesus out into the wilderness for a time of solitude, prayer, fasting, and preparation for his mission for the next 3 years. It'll be a harrowing thing for him, at least. So he will need to be spiritually able and to be able to be strong to withstand the constant pushback from others. Not only the devil, but other people around him as he was starting to go on this mission that God called him to do. The retribution from his colleagues, the challenges of his training of his own disciples, not to mention the continual temptations to walk a path that could seem 100 times easier than the one that he promised to take. He will need to be able to wrestle with his inner demons. He was buffeted from all sides. Even Jesus, God in the flesh, because that's what made it so special that God decided to humble himself and to come into a form of a baby through the birth canal to be raised and grow up in all this world and all these challenges like you and I have. And then eventually we know that he took the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary. But that's what makes him the most perfect intercessor. He tells Daddy, hey, Daddy, I know how they feel. Well, he was also struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweated blood, as he was wrestling with those inner demons that was pushing and pulling him, taunting him. And even in the wilderness, when he became hungry and weary and tired, to get him to question the success of his path. And basically said, you're a fool, Jesus, who undermined his confidence and ability to make a difference in the world. That's what the devil was doing to him. And difficult people and cultures who want nothing to do with Jesus. So Jesus' wilderness time is a time of deep inner struggle. Now there's a Arabic word that jihad. Now they take that word and terrorists use it in a wrong direction, but that word in Arabic means inner struggle. And we all have these inner struggles. A personal tumult, if we would. Self-questioning and doubt and agony and wondering if we're really truly doing the right thing. Jesus had that challenge as he was getting ready to start his mission. Is the voice in his head God? Or is it own selfish desires? Or is he embarking on a foolish path? This time of discernment must end in the time of brokenness for Jesus, in which he declines the easy way out. In which he digs his heels in his faith in God his Father, in his fortress and his foundation, and ready to yield to hunger and famine. He even willing to know that he's going to have a death on the cross. And he'll follow through if it means God's will. So Jesus' greatest strength in the passage in which we see him resisting the powers of temptation come from a sense of brokenness. A broken will, broken self-assurance, broken desires, broken arrogance. And out of that brokenness, Jesus emerges empowered and emboldened and faith-filled and humble and ready for what God has called him to do. I think it's no wonder that Jesus so frequently speaks to us in opposites. He said, if you want to be first, you must be last. If you want to be great, you must be humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up higher and higher. So if you want to be strong, you must first be made weak, he said. And if you want to be whole, you must first be broken. For our surrender to God and our declaration that we need God's help and our recognition of our limitations and weakness and our humble revelation of our human failings and flaws in the confession of our broken and tempt able spirit, from all of this comes our invitation to God through faith to heal us, to mold us, to strengthen us, empower us to live lives we could never have believed possible on our own. You know, one of the things I think it was Amy Grant that was talking about life and how we go through life, and we all have challenges, and she certainly had her own too. And as we get to a point and we look back on our lives, and then we see God's mercy, God's healing in our life. You know, we're in a journey, not a sprint. And this pruning, preparing us for eternal life, it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But many people go about their lives with little time for God. An hour on Sunday, if they're lucky. Not talking about Bible, but there are people out there that I don't think I want to do that. But maybe I can give an hour or not. I don't know. Until one of those untidy decisions of temptation starts turning our lives into a harrowing and painful direction. Fortunately, God never holds a grudge. God is always there to rescue us from our breaking bad decisions. God is always ready to take our broken pieces and create a new masterpiece. Now, we had just had this road repaved out here not long ago, And if you ever look at the, what they're doing and how those paving contractors do what they do, you kind of look at it and you think, wow, they're working on those roads all year long. And you get kind of frustrated and always thinking about how the roads are under construction and all that, the detours and the stops and the necessary thing of creating something new that would be sturdy and last. On that new road, the top coat may look slick and smooth, but underneath the surface, the road had experienced a huge amount of digging and refilling and moving and recompurposing in order to provide the support foundation and strength for decades to come to hold all those trucks and all those cars. But when we look at the choice of a smooth road or a bumpy road, we can easily become deceived. When we look at the gospel in Luke that of Jesus' experience in the wilderness, it's easy for us to look at all those circumstances and say, well, of course, he shouldn't have to take the easy way out. But it was that easy for him, really? If the circumstances were similar but different today, it would be as hard as to tell the right road from the wrong road. Especially when stress or anger starts to muddy our mind and our path, what would we do? What would we do? What would Jesus do? You remember that catchphrase? How would we choose? As human beings, sometimes we get it right, but more often, I don't know about you, but I know I get it wrong. Robert Frost wrote a poem. And I'm not much into poems, but I like to read them sometimes. Most poems become songs. And he knew something and about the elementary school and beyond and all that. And he wrote this poem. It was entitled The Road Not Taken. I don't know if you ever read it. I'll share it with you at the end of my message. Often we can talk about that last line in which the poet is satisfied by the road he chose, but in the middle parts of the poem, we see that the decision was not so clear. Both paths looked just as fair. The author did not know when he made the choice that he did in his life and whether it would become a success or a disaster. He simply made a choice, knowing that he could go back and hoping that he had made the right one. You see, often these choices are that way. They're the hardest for us ever to make. And the ones that are hard to see in the moment. The ones that only later we might say, Lord, help me. I'm on the wrong road. Thankfully, with life, life doesn't circle around and let us start from the beginning or take a different route. Jesus does. Jesus has the power to pull us out of the mud or the ditch or the jungle or wherever we find ourselves and help us to choose a new path. Now, we don't start from the very beginning. We take our learning and our experiences and our newfound wisdom, especially the knowledge of our salvation, praise God, with us, but walk forward, we can, in a new direction. Freed from the past into the horizon of freshness and promise. I have a son now, 60 some odd years old. We haven't talked maybe for 6 or 7 years because he's mad at me. And, he blames me for all of his troubles and so forth. And I accept some of that blame. And I said to him, Butch, I said, okay. I said, I'll accept some of that responsibility, but how about learning to walk in my new path with me? He's not willing to do it. My prayer is someday he will. Jesus tells us we don't need to carry the loads of our decisions on our own. For what did he say? My yoke is easy and his burden is light. So when Jesus walks along with us, nothing feels too difficult to bear. No place that we will go because we don't have to go it alone. Jesus said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, well, he's not here right now. Where is he? Well, the Holy Spirit is with us and in us. So temptation can feel like a beautiful relief sometimes when our lives are pressured with choices that we don't know how to make. But instead of breaking bad, let the Spirit be broken for you, and you were never meant to make those decisions on your own. Jesus said, test the Spirit and make sure it's of me. Put your faith in the one who knows what you're going through and who knows how to get you to the other side. So in the end, putting your faith in Jesus will be the greatest shortcut that you could ever take.